Hello and welcome to Orbital, the Gadget 60 podcast. I'm your host Akhil Arora, and today we have a special episode for you with Sanmeet Kocher, the VP for India and MENA for HMD Global. Welcome to the podcast, Sanmeet.
Thanks so much, Akhil, and I'm really happy and excited to talk to you and to be able to interact with your viewers. Thanks so much for the opportunity.
And we also have Gadget 60's Aditya Shenoy.
Hello, listeners.
Hello, hello. Right, so I think what I sort of want to kick off things with this, Sanmeet, is sort of, can you talk about what are you most excited about right now?
So as we get into the Diwali season, and we are already very close to Diwali, I'm so excited about the new range of products that we have announced in the past couple of months. In fact, we have announced as many as six smartphones, and we also announced our entry into the tablets category, and then we also announced a couple of feature phones. So I'm really excited about our phones getting into the hands of our fans, and the overwhelming response, the initial response that we have got from all our fans.
Right. So we've been in a sort of like a very interesting position here these days, is because of, you know, we're still sort of in the pandemic, but not really in the pandemic, sort of like outside of it in some ways, but it's still uncertain how sort of how we're going. And the last sort of 18, 19 months have been really different for everyone, right? And I believe Shenoy had some questions regarding that. So Shenoy, why don't you go ahead?
Yeah. So, Sanmeet, I hear you, there are a lot of new products that you guys are bringing in, and well, these products do look exciting. But I kind of wanted to go back to 2020. Now, that is the year that, well, all of us would like to forget, but it has affected all of us, and there are very different teachings in the market as well. So I kind of wanted to start off with asking, how has the year 2020 been for Nokia? And, is there any learnings from the market that you've seen with respect to different segments and even different countries, given that you're handling a different region? So what kind of changes in the market have you observed?
Yes, thanks so much, Aditya, for the question. And 2020 has been very, very different. And I'll talk about different aspects from business point of view, from product point of view, from the industry standpoint, from people standpoint, what we have done, what we achieved, and what we have learned. So I'll talk about from different aspects. So first of all, from an industry point of view, as we started 2020, we saw that quarter one, calendar year 2020, saw a lot of supply fluctuations, because initially, as you know, the pandemic was concentrated in China, and that's where we were relying a lot on our supplies. And so we saw that there were some shortages, etc., from component supply. In fact, some of our component supplier were actually based in Wuhan province. So that's how it started. And then as we move into quarter two, and as the pandemic spread across the world, we saw that there were some demand challenges. So since then, it's been it's been a very tight balance that everyone in the industry has tried to maintain, from managing a balance, managing the right balance between demand and supply. And especially when the future looks a little uncertain, and I'm talking when we were looking at it from the beginning of quarter two 2020 point of view. So that's the first thing which comes to mind. Second, our objective was the first as a company, our objective was to protect our people, whether it's our own employees, or whether it's it's the consumers or shoppers who are in the market, whether our distribution partners or care partners. So that's something that we had as our primary objective, to protect our people and then to protect our business. So the first thing we did was we just tried to be flexible and offer a remote working as early as the beginning of March, and till now we have that option. And our employees are always always having an option to choose whether to actually come to office or not, or whether to work remotely. That is one. Second is, we put in place a lot of SOPs for our store staff who are in the market, and for our fans who are going into the market to buy phones. And that's something that worked really well for us, and we took all those precautions and put all those SOPs in place. from a care point of view, we realized that as the lockdown was opening last year, we saw that there were a lot of challenges and there were apprehensions amongst people, amongst our fans, who were keen to get their phone, you know, if they wanted some help or if they needed some repair or some work done on their phones. One of the things that we did was we introduced online pickup and drop, complimentary online pickup and drop facility for multiple pin codes across the country. And if you are in that pin code and if your phone is within warranty, you just log in a request and we pick up your phone. We get it repaired if it is requiring some repair, whether it is software or hardware. And then we put it and we give it back to you in a short period of time. So that's something that we started. And that again was a very good learning for us because we met again with overwhelming response from our fans over there. Then as we moved along, we realized that a lot of work, study, entertainment is moving online. And we announced and we have a big base of 2G users in India. And towards August, September 2020, we announced a device called the Nokia C3. That was the first device which was made in India for Indian fans, which was designed for India. Of course, all our devices are made in India, but this was a device which was specifically designed for the Indian fans and catered to the needs of our Indian consumers. And we launched that in India again. That met, you know, with a very, very positive and strong response. This was the Nokia C3. There is one more insight with respect to, you know, product that I want to talk about. And generally, we believe that feature phones are used by people who are not using smartphones. And they are used by people who are in rural areas who don't have access to smartphones. You know, these would definitely be selling from mom and pop small stores, which are spread across rural India, would not have much use in urban households. So last year, around June timeframe, we launched a device called Nokia 5310 Express Music. And this was a perfect blend of our rich heritage and modern technology. And this was a device on which you could listen to music. You could, this was targeted at music lovers. So you could listen to FM music, wireless FM music. Then you could carry your music all around. The device had dedicated keys for music. And it had very good quality and loud voice. It worked on 2G. And also it had dedicated music keys, as I said. And then you could also make phone calls on it. And what's more, it had a battery backup, which would last, you know, days, which I mean, could be more than 25 days. So you don't have to worry about your battery getting over on your smartphones. And this device we targeted at people who are looking at digital detox. We realized that during the lockdown, a lot of people were worried about spending too much time in front of their screens. And they were looking for digital detox. And what's more, we launched this device in collaboration with Amazon and launched it exclusively on Amazon.com for the first 30 days. And the response to the device was overwhelming. And this is the first time that so many, I mean, thousands of devices sold on the online channel, which is like a 2G feature phone device. And that's again a very good learning experience that we had last year. And one more thing which I also wanted to talk about, which we introduced last year, that was on a you know, a proposition or an offer called replacement guarantee, which means that if on your smartphones there is some issue with the hardware, you know, pertaining to the manufacturing defect in the phone, we offer you a replacement. You don't have to even worry about a repair. You don't have to go to a care center. You just go to the same place where you bought it from and we offer you a replacement on your device. And this was done on the first on Nokia 2.3 and then on Nokia C3 as well. So, you know, and then finally, as we move to this year, we extended to many more devices, but more on that later. So this is again something that we announced last year. So we got, again, overwhelming response because of the replacement guarantee proposition that we announced last year. So these were some of the things. So starting from the industry, what was happening in the industry, what was happening with our company, how we tried to protect our people and our fans and the people who are working with our partners. Then what was happening in different aspects of product area and how, you know, we innovated in both in terms of care centers and how we can get care facility right up to the our fans at their homes. And also then different products, how they worked and what were the insights around that.
Yeah, Sanmi, this is really insightful. You know, right from looking at an online solution for people to fix their smartphones that are broken to even digital detox for someone who doesn't really want the digital life. You know, one other thing that kind of comes to mind is with respect to the market segment, you know, with the pandemic, what I have seen a few people doing is there's two kinds of people, I would say. A few have pretty much reduced their spending versus a few others who, well, pretty much had to work from home using the smartphone as the primary device for it, have splurged a bit extra to get a better phone, which has probably a better camera or a better processor. So has Nokia observed something of that sort? Like, have you observed a shift in the market segment wherein, you know, people say probably have stopped buying, say, sub 10,000 rupee smartphones and slightly shifted towards 15 or the higher segments? Or have you seen people moving towards the lower end of the segment? You know, what's it like for you guys?
Yes, so I think that's an excellent point. So before we come to the segments, I think it's important to mention that the smartphone and the overall phones industry is very resilient. The demand is very resilient. And we have seen that in the past. So right from 2002, when, you know, there was this internet bubble and there was a crisis, we saw that, you know, the phone industry and the demand picked up very strongly. Similarly, in 2008, there was the overall global economic crisis, and we saw that for 1 year there was some slump in demand, but then again it came back very strongly. And as we moved into a lockdown, and we expected that the demand would be less in quarter two last year calendar, but also it was expected the demand would come back very strongly, and the same happened both globally as well as in India in quarter three and quarter four in the second half. And second half anyways is pretty strong in India. And we saw that demand coming back very, very strongly in this industry. Now coming to different segments, we have seen the a very, very strong demand in different categories, both in less than 10K. And primary reason over there is that there are a lot of people who are on 2G feature phones who are very keen to move to smartphones so that they are participating in you know in the work or in study or in entertainment as and use the smartphone as a means to do that. Similarly, there are a lot of people who are looking to move from less than 10K to 10 to 15K. So both the segments have seen a strong demand for our phones, for our devices. But also I have seen feature phone demand also being very strong. And that's not surprising because feature phones have a very, you know, important place in the overall scheme of things. And people are looking to buy a feature phone. Not only one, of course, is affordability, not only of buying a new smartphone and the capital involved in buying, but also the affordability in terms of the monthly rentals for data, etc. So this is the affordability aspects. Then the whole battery, you know, a feature phone battery lasts much longer than a smartphone. And then the overall ease of use and convenience of using a feature phone. And plus the point that I mentioned earlier, that there are smartphone users who are also looking to have a feature phone. So we have seen demand being very strong in, you know, 10 to 15, in which we have had multiple devices, then less than 10K, both 7 to 10 and 5 to 7, as well as in the you know, in the feature phone space?
Very interesting. And you know, Sanmeet, like you said, feature phones are also picking up pace, wherein a lot of people probably want them as their secondary device. Now, that is something I was honestly expecting. Feature phones, I was expecting the demand to die down, but it's really interesting. Now, looking at even Nokia's portfolio, you guys have been focusing in the segment that you were talking about, 10 to 15,000 rupee segment. And competition in this segment is very fierce, and you have a lot of players like Redmi and Realme, for instance, that's launching very frequent smartphones. Like, I think they're pretty much launching a smartphone a month of sorts. So is there any plans with Nokia to pretty much counter them in mind currently?
Yes. So without talking specifically about any of our competitors, I'll just talk about our plans and refer to competition generally. So first of all, this 10 to 15K is a very, very important segment. It's a big segment in India specifically. And and this is a very important segment for us, right? Now, we have very, very clear differentiation when it comes to this segment with reference to all our competitors. So we have launched multiple devices. We launched the Nokia 3.4, Nokia 5.4 earlier this year. And then we have very recently launched the G10, Nokia G10, Nokia G20. Just yesterday, we announced the Nokia C30, which is also in this segment. So there are multiple devices that we have in this segment. Now, one of the key differentiators that we have, and I'll come to that, but just quickly, I want to talk about the industry a little bit over here. And it's very much a commoditized purchase in below 15K, and specifically in 10 to 15K, wherein people are looking at, you know, buying whether it is X processor or whether it is 3 cameras or 4 cameras, or whether it's 24 megapixel, 32 megapixel or 48 megapixel, whether it is 3GB, 4GB, 6GB or 32GB or 64GB. It's very much a very commoditized purchase. And a lot of people, when they look at a device purchase or a transactional, they do look at it as if they are, you know, just making that transaction, and that's how they evaluate the value of the purchase. Like, you know, it's like going to a vegetable market and buying onions and potatoes and, you know, comparing the prices and the quality and buying at that time, right? The device purchase, in our view, is very different, and it should not be only a commoditized hardware spec value comparison, because you are setting yourself up for failure if you do that. And just the example that you mentioned, that some of the brands are launching, you know, so every other month there is another device, which means that today, if you bought something which has 2 cameras, tomorrow there's going to be something else at the same price, which is going to have 3. And then a couple of months later, there would be 4, right? So your device very soon would be obsolete. And you would be then later on, after some time, you may be in a way forced to make a change to your device, not only because the specs that you bought are obsolete, but also you see that, you know, there is some issue with the battery, or your phone is beginning to hang, or your phone is slowing down. So you are in a way forced to make that choice to purchase a new phone. So that's how a lot of times the industry operates and different shoppers operate. And we have a very different take to this. We believe while hardware innovations are important and are going to continue to move forward with that, but at the same time, software, security, privacy, all of these aspects play a very, very important role. And therefore, this is what our key differentiators are. While we look at hardware and the best-in-class hardware, for example, the G-series devices that we launched, along with adaptive battery, we offer a 3-day battery life on G10, both Nokia G10 and G20. But apart from that, we have a very unique differentiator, which is that right now, you know, the device would launch on Android 11, but then we promise that the next two Android upgrade, which is the Android 12 and the next one after that, we promise in the next 2 years, these upgrades would be coming into your device, even on a device which is on a G10, which is priced as low as between 10 to 15K, right? Similarly, nowadays, and we missed this point earlier, last year when we saw this whole socio-political, conversation around certain countries and privacy and security, and the government of India banned certain apps from a specific country, we saw that there were even more focus from everyone on privacy and how they are very, very careful about how they want to protect their data. They want to protect what searches they are making on Google, or how they are, making their bank transactions or the e-wallet, or even their intimate messages or photos. So everyone who's spending maybe around 6 to 8 hours on their phone are very keen to ensure that their data is secure. And on our G-series devices, which are between 10 to 15K, we offer a promise of monthly security update for the next 3 years, which means that every month you have a new security patch on your phone. So therefore, if I were to just explain it in very simple terms for your listeners, there are certain... let's say there are hackers who are trying to, work on trying to get this data, or trying to get or evolve or upgrade their technology. Similarly, Google is working on how the data can be protected, or what kind of new security patches can you have on your device. And as HMD Global, we offer monthly security update and monthly security patch for our users for the next 3 years. So therefore, coming back to our earlier point where the device purchase is so commoditized, what we are offering is a promise of 2 years of software upgrades and 3 years of monthly security update. And just to give an example, if someone would have bought, let's say, a competition device 2 years back, right? And that device probably would be on Android 9 and would still be working, if it is working, would be working on Android 9 still, and would not have security, there would not have the latest security patch. This is, most of our competitors in this price band. Whereas if you were to buy a Nokia device, and specifically I would say, let's say Nokia 2.3 or Nokia 7.2 in this price segment today, that will be working on, that would have again launched on Android 9. But then last year, it would have moved to Android 10, and this year, it would have moved to Android 11. And so therefore, now you have the latest in terms of Android 11. And also, you have the latest security patch as of last month, updated as of September 2021, so that you are, you can sleep peacefully. You are resting assured that your data is protected. So this is a very, very strong differentiator. So therefore, coming to the value proposition, my point is that you need not only look at your value prop when you are buying the device, but you look at the value that it is delivering over the lifetime of the device. And then finally, you are not forced to make a change. You're not forced to buy a new device because your earlier device is obsolete, both in terms of hardware specs and software or security. So, that's a very, very big differentiator that we have. In fact, I don't know if you have noticed, but when you have a new software on your phone, your device is almost becoming like a new device, and all the AI-based innovations that are happening in the software space, they are coming to your device. And I believe that carries a lot of value to it. So coming back, and if I were to summarize this, yes, this is a very important segment. Yes, there's a lot of competition in this segment, and this is a very, very hot segment right now. But at the same time, we have very, very strong products with very clear differentiators, which for our fans, which people who are using our devices, they are loving these aspects of our device.
That's a very valid point you've raised, Sanmeet. Don't only look at the value of the phone you're buying at the time of buying, but look at it through the entire lifetime of the phone. Now, we've already spoken about, say, the sub 15,000 rupee segment and what Nokia is doing here. But what I've noticed is that Nokia was also catering to the higher segments, say the sub 20 and the sub 30,000 rupee market. Even the sub 50, you had the Nokia 8 and I think the Nokia 8.1 as well. But I haven't seen successors to it. Like, you know, the 2.2, 2.3 happened. You had the 5.3, 5.4. But the Nokia 8 series pretty much did not get successors. So, you know, is something on the, like, is something planned for it? What's happening with the higher segments? Or is Nokia pretty much looking at locking down the budget segment and the feature phone segment currently? Like, what's the plan with?
Yes, excellent, excellent point over here. So, I will just talk a little bit about our different series that we have announced earlier in April, and then I'll come to the specific plans around the higher segment. So we announced three different series that we are going to operate in. First, in smartphones. So first was the C series, which is targeted at first-time smartphone users, which is feature phone upgraders. So this is the C series, which is designed purely for our fans who are, you know, experiencing feature for smartphones for the first time. Then we also announced the G series, which is which has unique features, just like the 3-day battery life, and we promise software and security updates, as I talked about. So this is the G series. And finally, we also announced the X series, where we are looking to push the boundaries, and which would be 5G devices, 5G phones, but also the devices which are looking to push the boundary. And in that context, we announced very recently, and this phone is going to be in the market as we speak. And by the time our listeners are listening to this device, this phone would be already in store and available on Nokia.com. This is the Nokia, the new Nokia XR20, which is seeking the adventurer in you. And these are built on the belief that the technology should last forever, right? So this, the new, you know, it's life proof. We call it the life proof Nokia XR20, which has been built to last with military grade resilience, paired with 4 years of monthly security updates and the latest software upgrades for 3 years, and future-proof 5G technology. So this is designed for consumers who are looking to seek adventure and who are looking for high-quality, sturdy, robust smartphone. So, you know, and in a way, it's an extension of their old lifestyle, and it's a life-proof smartphone that has been designed to build and survive through frequent drops or splashes or tumbles of you know, of daily use. So in fact, we had announced our marketing or a consumer proposition, which is love, trust and keep, and without you know, without worrying about anything. So you fall in love with this device because of the aspects that I mentioned, and then you can trust it for 4 years of security updates and the hardware aspects that I talked about. And also, you can keep it for a long time, and you don't even have to worry about what's going to happen to the hardware or software. So, you know, this is the premium smartphone that we announced. In fact, we announced the price as well. So, it's priced just under 50,000 rupees. So that's the price that we announced for this device. So this is the XR20. It will be in the stores when you know, our listeners are listening to this podcast. So around priced at around 47,000 rupees. So this is the new XR20 in the X series, which pushes the boundaries for our fans.
You know, it's a bit like the internet pretty much believes that the Nokia 3310 is indestructible. So would you call the XR20 as probably the spiritual successor to the Nokia 3310?
I would go even one step ahead. I agree. And I agree 3310 is just, you know, is indestructible. But from a smartphone point of view, the XR20 is in a league of its own. I mean, this is something that, I mean, I don't have any hesitation in saying that there's something that you have never seen before from Nokia. In fact, I would encourage your listeners to go on to YouTube and watch the Roberto Carlos video on the XR20. In fact, we got Roberto Carlos, who's one of the most powerful kickers or, you know, free kick takers or strikers of the football. And we got him to strike the football and aim at XR20, which was tied somewhere to a pole. And, you know, it the football comes at full speed and hits it. And nothing happens to the device. So I would encourage everyone to just watch that video and also try it out. Try out and see this device in the stores and what it can do. And in fact, I must say here that on a day-to-day basis, we are overwhelmed sometimes by the expectations that our fans have from the Nokia devices, and you know, the expectation that they have from a durability point of view, and that nothing can happen to a device, whatever happens. So, you know, and we strive every day to come up to those expectations. So I would encourage everyone to at least see this device and at least try to drop it. We have demo phones in the stores, in select stores, and I would encourage you to go there. There would be a promoter who would be there, who would be working over there, would be talking to you. To hold that device in your hand, try to drop it on the floor. Of course, the floor should not be very, you know, soft. I'm just a little concerned that the floor should not break, but try to drop the device and see what happens. So, you know, just try it out.
Well, I think this is the first where we're probably encouraging people to drop their smartphones. But, you know, I haven't used the XR20 yet. You know, listening to it, it does look like it's going to be a durable device. But in terms of the XR series, will the XR series be devices that are durable, or will it also have, say, smartphones that are more powerful? Say, probably something with Qualcomm Snapdragon 800 series processor, or even say a MediaTek Helio Dimensity processor. Is there any plans at this point to increase the XR series, or will the XR series be a durable lineup? That would be my question.
Yes, good question. So, XR series, X series is the one which pushes the boundaries, not necessarily on durability. It pushes the boundaries in everything. And unfortunately, I can't comment on our future devices and what and when are we going to launch, but the X series is the one which is going to push the boundaries and in different aspects of smartphone and the overall experience of the device.
Got it. So, Sanvi, you have talked a lot about smartphones, and we've also mentioned briefly Make in India that you guys did with the Nokia C3. So, you know, I think I would want to go in that direction, asking about Nokia's Make in India plans. Like, what extent of Make in India happens here? Like, R&D, does the R&D happen here? Like, how is the setup like?
Yes, excellent point. And so, first of all, our Honorable Prime Minister has spoken about Make in India as one of the key initiatives. And HMD Global and Nokia smartphones, we are totally committed to it, both smartphones and feature phones. As of today, we manufacture millions of phones, both feature and smart put together in India on a day-to-day basis. In fact, just apart from XR20, every phone that we are selling today is made in India. And not only we are making the phones in India, but I'm sure you're aware, last year in the budget speech, our Honorable Finance Minister announced the PLI scheme, the production linked incentive scheme, and less than $200 devices. This was announced for the Indian manufacturers and Indian EMS partners. And since then, we have worked very, very closely with multiple Indian EMS partners. And I'm so proud to say that a lot of our devices are today, a lot of our smartphones today are manufactured with not only in India, but also with Indian EMS partners. And we are totally committed to, you know, make India as a base, as a hub, not only for our fans, for our consumers, for the business, but also for exports. And we are evaluating different opportunities on how we can leverage India as a hub for exporting our devices to different parts of the world. So, as I said, we are totally committed to not only manufacturing our phones in India for the Indian consumers, but also exporting it, exporting the devices for consumers globally. This is one aspect of Make in India. Secondly, we are not only manufacturing the devices or assembling the devices, but also sourcing components. There are certain components that we are looking to source from India, again from Indian suppliers, so that you know, we again work more, even more on this and contribute even more to the Make in India initiative. And the final point, which is on R&D. So we have a product team which works in India. We have our market access team, which is testing our devices and the software. As I said, we have monthly security updates coming in, and we have new softwares coming in, and we have a team which is looking at what devices to launch for India. So we did not talk much about our C-series devices, but the Nokia C3 earlier, and then the Nokia C01 Plus that we announced very recently, which is now selling at 6,200 rupees. And then the Nokia C20 Plus, all these devices are designed for India. In fact, some of these devices are launched only in India and nowhere else. So that's the kind of focus that we have in terms of manufacturing in India, in terms of sourcing our components in India, in terms of working with the Indian manufacturing partners, and having products for India which are designed by the team which is based in India.
Wow. So that is some unique steps that you guys are taking with respect to even exporting smartphones out of India. So these will be manufactured in India and then exported to other countries. You know, now that...
Yes, sorry, Aditya. Just to clarify, this is our objective. We have not yet started this, but this is our objective. While we are manufacturing all the phones for domestic consumption, but we are looking to export as well. We have not yet made any announcements over here in this space, but this is something that we are very, very closely working, and I don't want to jump the gun over here, but I would encourage you to watch this space as we move forward. Very, very soon we'll be talking a little bit about this as we move along.
So very interesting Make in India objectives that you guys have shared right now. Now we've been discussing smartphones for a really long time, but I've seen that Nokia has also forayed into different segments of the market. So you've got accessories now, you've also got televisions, and I believe that internationally you also have a tablet that you guys have launched. So what's in store for India?
Yes. So again, excellent point. So we are into smartphones, but then we are amongst the market leaders globally as well as in India in feature phone, and we have very, very strong presence in feature phones. Then we have a lot of accessories, both in audio, power, etc., covers, protection, etc., which we have launched in India. We have a new range of devices which are there now in India. So that's the third category. And then very recently, we announced the tablet, the Nokia T20, and this is something which is coming very, very soon, around Diwali timeframe, which is, let's say, less than 2 weeks from now. This will be in the stores in India. And I want to talk a little bit about the Nokia T20. And it's, first of all, a one-of-its-kind tablet, and anything that a smartphone can do and much more one can expect from the Nokia T20. And the security updates, the monthly security updates, the software upgrades, and even in terms of hardware, it has a big screen going with 8200 milliampere hertz battery, beautiful battery, and then the unique finish, Nordic design, inspired by our Nordic roots. So beautiful device to hold in the hand, unique design with USB Type-C fast charging, and with the T610 octa-core processor. So overall, an excellent device, comes at a very good price point. So I would encourage you to watch this space when we are launching this device in India during Diwali timeframe. In fact, India would be one of the first few markets globally to have this device in the market.
Right. Thanks, Sameer. You've sort of given us a lot of insight into your devices and how you sort of think about India and operating your... But sort of before we sort of wrap up, I also want to touch upon, you know, like the brand itself, right? Like there is a very pointed reason you guys brought back the Nokia brand to India because of what it meant to the country for so long. And then for the years that it was missing here. But then it's obviously like two different eras, right? There was a different era when Nokia existed and dominated the market back time. Like, I mean, I was quite young back then. And now it's a very different phone market, even though it's still sort of split between that feature and smartphone market, as you've sort of spoken about at length right now. So how do you sort of see the company today, like in terms of, you know, like Nokia stood for something back then, but like what is Nokia? Like, I mean, it's a brand, but it's also like it has its own personality, right? So like, what is Nokia for you in, you know, today's time?
So I think our overall proposition encapsulates our brand essence very well, which is love it, trust it, and keep it. And even today, anybody and everybody that I speak to, and this is not only our consumers, but also our distribution partners, our retail partners, our friends in the media, everyone I speak to, they just are in love with the brand. And there's a lot of trust associated with the brand, and people just trust that if there's going to be a Nokia smartphone or Nokia phone, there are certain values that are associated with the brand, and people expect us to always deliver on the value. And you touched upon a very important point that, you know, you use the brand when you were younger, and which also means that there are quite a few people today who may not have used the brand, and which is what you know, we are very keen to focus on. And we talk to the millennials, and we look at the values that millennials today associate most with, not only with the brand, but overall in their life. And that's what we try to tailor our brand promise and our product promise to. So for example, today, the young people, the millennials, so for example, if I talk to my daughter, she does not want to be told what to do. So the millennials want to do their own thing. And if you look at most of our devices, they have the pure Android on smartphones. And therefore, we give full freedom to the users to choose what apps they want. Unlike some of our competitors who are trying to, you know, put bloatware or trying to put their own preloaded apps into the brand. So we try to look at these values that we hold dear to us and try to see, you know, which are the values which are common with the millennials today, and try to communicate and have conversations with not only people who have used the brand earlier, but also with the younger people, the millennials, who are also, you know, very keen to try out new things.
You know, before we close, one final question from my end, Sanmeet, that would be, well, if there was one Nokia smartphone that you would want to bring back, like modernize it, you know, which one would it be? Like one smartphone from the yesteryears to the future, which one would it be? Like a modern version of it.
So I think this is an excellent question. While there are multiple favorites that I have, but the one which I always loved and which was also my first smartphone, and the Nokia 3310, which I used, and after that I used the you know, the different N series devices, different E series devices, the foldable phones, the curved design phones, the first phone with the camera, etc. But the communicator as well. But my favorite always is the Nokia 3310, and would always remain so, with the snake design, the snake game, and also very well nestles and rests very well in the hand. And of course, you know, the most durable phone which has ever seen the light of the day.
Right. This has been great. Thank you so much, Sanmeet, for joining us and, you know, doing this. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks a lot, Akhil. Thanks a lot, Aditya. And thanks to all your listeners for being with us for so long. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
Right. That's all for this episode of Orbital. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram at GadgetC60. You can write to us at podcast@gadgetc60.com. And we will see you with a new episode next week.